A huge congratulations to Whalen Bay. They are the number one dealer in sales in the nation for Mako and Tahoe boats. How cool is that? Hey folks, Captain Kevin Faber here for Whalen Bay Marine, and I've been telling you for years how much I love the Mako Pro Skiff series. They're an absolute inshore fishing machine. But don't forget, they also carry tracker boats, Nitro Performance fishing boats, Sun Tracker pontoon boats, and Tahoe boats. Now you want some bigger news? Whalen Bay is now the dealer for Ranger boats. The new Ranger Saltwater Bay boats look amazing. Also Ranger Aluminum series and Ranger pontoons, which are perfect for fishing and just relaxing. So now, no matter what your boating needs are, Whalen Bay has you covered. And I can promise you that when you buy your new boat, all the folks at Whalen Bay will make sure your boat is rigged correctly and in a timely manner. You can do all this at Whalen Bay in St. Augustine, located at 845 State Road 207, or give them a call at 217-3778 or visit WhalenBayMarine.com. Whalen Bay Marine, your authorized dealer for tracker boats, Nitro, Sun Tracker, Tahoe, Mako, and now your full line of Ranger boats. And remember, every day is a boat show at Whalen Bay Marine.
Now, the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Here to help you be the best you. Here's Captain Kevin Faber and Captain Scott Shank on 1010XL.
Good evening. Welcome to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Kevin Faber, sitting in with Captain Ricky Papour.
That's me.
That's good. Captain Ricky Papour in the house. It is his birthday. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, man.
You had a good day on your birthday. What a beautiful day. And today's my 32nd wedding anniversary.
Happy
anniversary. Yeah. Yeah, I feel carrying on. So we were all, this was kind of fun, kind of quirky, but whatever. We were on our way home, and it's a 3.5-hour drive, you know, and I'm like, all right, give me some highlights. You know, of things that we've done in 32 years. And I said, excluding kids, you know, things that we've done. And you know, I'm going to tell you that 90% of it was outdoor stuff. You know, coming in second, St. Mary's Kingfish Tournament, you know, a few years ago, and which was, she was on the rod. You know, she's very good at catching kingfish. And then killing her first turkey. This was 5 years ago or so. And the funny thing is, she loves to turkey hunt. She just loves the whole aspect of turkey hunting. You know, the just interacting and you know, and trying to figure out what the birds do. I mean, she loves that whole thing. And she filmed for me for years when I did the TV show. Mm-hmm. So she was never actually on the gun. And when she killed her first bird 5 years ago or so, that was... But the other one when we went to Washington State on a turkey hunt, which was epic. You know, we were broke, but we got the invite, and we're like, we're going to go. And this was when I was filming at the time, you know, and I've got to go back. As a matter of fact, I got some great news yesterday. I had given all of my mini DVs to Kyle Summerall, Pat Summerall's son, and that's what he does, video stuff, and he has put everything on digital. So I'm going to be able to download all this stuff and put it out so people can see it, the old shows,
YouTube
and stuff.
YouTube, like that.
Yeah. So
nice.
It's really cool stuff, you know. So I'm excited about that. I guess Captain Scott's going to call in sometime. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and that's how I found you. I mean, that's how you and I met. The first time we met, I hired you to take me fishing.
Which is crazy to think, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is now.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
I used to watch that TV show every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. I loved it. That was my favorite TV show.
It did really well. It was quite amazing that I had several different camera folks carry in the beginning, and then we would send our stuff out to get produced. But then once Mike Kaminsky got involved with First Coast News, and the show was on First Coast News at 7 o'clock on Saturday mornings. It was amazing. It was really cool. And the technology now is just like, it's just crazy, you know. As a matter of fact, you know, two Saturdays ago for the outdoor show, we were at the Renaissance Hotel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we had this guy on who is Retro Chris, and he does a bass fishing show Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Scotty.
Hello.
That's me.
Don't ever do that again.
So, Scotty, I was telling birthday boy here about
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Retro Chris.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it was just funny that he does a TV show on YouTube called Retro Bassin, Bassin. So it's all retro stuff, all right? Like 5 foot rods, Ambassador World Ambassador reels. He's got an old Ranger with a. Yeah. He's got an old Ranger with a 70 horsepower Johnson, you know, two stroke that smokes like a sieve. And then he had. Anyway, I went to watch one of his shows, right? And he has one camera and a cell phone. That's what he's. And when I say one camera, Scotty, you saw the camera because he filmed his interview. You know, it's one little tiny camera that's on a tripod. You know, I mean, that's what they're doing TV shows on now. That was my point. Yeah, it was crazy.
It.
Yeah. And I watched one of his shows, and it was all retro Bassin, okay, but they caught like 4 1-pound bass. And then he showed a bunch of retro bass fishing stuff. Remember the, I don't even know what you called it, but you would drop something in the water, and it would you had a little machine that you're looking at, and it would tell you what color fish with that day.
How dirty the water was, or what was going on.
Yes.
It had a name. I think it was called a color scope.
It might have been.
It was something like that. I remember that thing.
And so it was so funny as he was fishing with his buddy. So this color scope thing told Retro Chris to fish with white. And his buddy goes, okay, you fish with white. I'm going to fish with red. And the red just killed him. So anyway, all good stuff. Scotty, it sounded like fishing overall today was pretty good.
It was incredible. I'm going to switch over to the truck. I just literally got it on the truck.
Okay.
You got me now?
Going to Bluetooth. Yeah, we're good.
Sorry, I had to get you back on the truck.
It's all right. Go ahead.
But yeah, no, I mean, the bite was incredible. It was a really good bite of fish. You know, caught a lot of different species, redfish, trout, flounder, black drum, sheephead. You know, it was a fun day.
That's a good day.
It was a fun day with my boys from Atlanta. So it was a good time. Really good time. Really good bite of fish.
So are we still out of the first influx of ladyfish jacks?
No, did not see what the influx is them damn little 8-inch bluefish.
That's always the first ones that show up. Yeah, okay.
Man, I had a move off
the ladyfish and the jacks are next.
Yes, they'll be coming in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. But, man, them little, I had to move. I mean, you move 50 feet and you got out of them. You know, right. But dang, you couldn't. Sorry, guys, my thing is going off. You couldn't get away from them. I mean, 3 guys throwing and 6 fish, you know, back to back. It was like, okay, time to move on, you know. Move 50 feet.
You go through too many shrimp.
You mostly fish the high outgoing tide today, right?
What's that?
You mostly fished a high outgoing tide.
I did. Yeah. I went to the jetties first thing. Tide was still crawling in, didn't do nothing, and that tide switched around and took off for about a half an hour. And we just don't get to see it all the time, Ricky. But we caught a really nice sheephead, 3-4 pounds, and it was a mama, and like 4. Of the males followed her up. The water's so crystal clear on the jetties, you watched them. I literally could have netted 2 out of the 4 of the other ones. You know, it
you
was
know
stupid.
That's funny that the water's so clear inshore, but offshore, the water is nasty. I mean, all the way to the
breakers. Oh, man.
green, man, dirty it
was,
water.
It was gorgeous. We lost a really nice flounder on the jetties. I'd say he was 3, maybe pushing 4. Really nice fish. Steve Cascio caught one right next to me.
On shrimp? And
yes, yes. And then, you know, the tide picked up, and, man, we caught 6 of your favorite fish, Kevin. I mean, not the sheephead, but the drums. You know, really nice, yeah. You know, decent drums, you know, 15 to 19 inches, you know, I don't know, 2 to 4 pound fish, you know. Mm-hmm. But those were doing the same daggum thing. We hooked up a couple times, and damned if, you know, drum didn't follow them up, too. So the sheephead spawn's behind. We're going to see it here in the next, you know, I know their next full moon, Ricky's, what, the 25th?
Yep.
Right?
Hey, Scott, before we let you go, how about the worm hatch?
It's gone.
It's gone? Worms. Okay, but it was this week, right?
It was Monday, and talking to the boys, and I actually talked to Kirk Wallace this afternoon. He called me, and they did the same thing. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, they couldn't buy a bite. I mean, they just went fishing. It's so funny when it happens, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And by the way, if you're going to inshore fish, you might as well just if you go and see the worms, you forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Just put it back on the trailer. I mean, you literally have to cancel the charter or you go offshore.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, when you say go offshore, you got to go outside of 4 miles.
Because exactly, because it's out there, too.
It's out there, too, and that's all they eat.
Unless
you throw a fly rod. What's that?
Yeah. The redfish I cleaned today, they still are. They still all have fiddlers in their bellies. Nothing else.
Wow.
All fiddler crabs. All fiddlers.
Coming out of...
All fiddlers and little tiny blue crabs.
That's interesting.
I don't know.
All right, buddy, we appreciate it. Go home.
Yep.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
I appreciate y'all. Yeah. Thank y'all very much for taking care of business tonight. I'm just getting home. Happy birthday, Ricky, you old fart.
Thank you, buddy. Congratulations on your day.
Thank you, man. Bye, y'all.
See you.
Bye.
All right, when we come back, let's talk about your day.
Okay.
Yeah, because you had a 6-hour offshore trip today, so we got the inshore scoop from Scotty, which you can always tell from his voice that he had a good day.
Yes, I could tell coming in the inlet. I passed him at the
Oh, you did? Okay. Oh, absolutely, you could tell.
He had the net in his hand, and he's just all waving, all happy. I'm like, yep. He's having a good day.
Yep. If you want to give us a call, 641-1010 right here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show on 1010XL. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Ricky Pupor. Captain Favor.
Yes, sir.
And I believe we have...
Captain Leon Dana.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Birthday boy.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, bud. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I think that it's more of an accomplishment to be married for 32 years than than a birthday.
I was just born. It's not
exactly.
Has anything to do with it.
I
agree.
I'm very, very happily married man, and it's 32 years, Leon. That's just it's mind boggling. It just seems like just the other day I was 32 years old.
In this world of today, that's no easy accomplishment, and I have to say that anybody that 32 years, I don't care, 22 years, 12 years, geez, let me tell you something, man. In the world of today, hats off to you. I'm happy for you because you have found a partner in life that puts up with your crap, first of all, second of all, love.
Totally agree.
Third of
absolutely, yes. Totally agree. Yes. Yeah. Hey, you know, I sent you that picture of that bass that I caught yesterday evening.
Yeah. Nice fish.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, while I'm down there, you know, bass fishing, she's sweeping the porch. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then I'm hollering at her. I'm like, Kerry, come here. You know,
get the camera.
I'm like, get the camera. That's what I'm like. I'm like, photo op. Oh, that was good stuff, man.
Gary's wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yep, absolutely. So, Leon, it's always really cool, but not cool. The worm hats, every time I, most of the time, this time of year, I'm somewhere in Georgia over the weekend, and I always get the picture from you guys of the worms all in the water, the worm hats, and I'm like, man, I'm glad I'm not there.
Yeah,
it's a rough 2 days.
It's one of those moments where you just go, is there anything else I can do for a day or two? You know, I mean, right. Well, actually, I think it's actually more than a day or two, man. I mean, up to a week, because they're going to, well, you've already covered the basis on this conversation. I mean, that's all they focus themselves on. That's all they eat. You know, Captain Chip Wingo says it best. You know, you want to catch fish? No problem. Let me give you a pink fish bite, you know, because I mean, that's exactly what they just gorge themselves on it. And like Scotty said, I'm seeing less of the worms now. Really not. Didn't see any today, honestly. And I did catch some good fish today, so I hope the worst is behind us. Because, I hate those damn things. I mean, talk about some beautiful weather and bringing the bite to a screeching halt. I mean, a worm ass will do that faster than anything. Next to a hurricane.
So it's kind of like on Saturday morning, right? We were at the Bearded Pig.
Great time.
Leon's like, I'm going to take a break. You and Jeff handle it, Lugman and I, right? And I look over, and the waitress brings this platter of food. And when I'm telling you, a beef rib, okay? Have you ever seen these beef ribs? Okay. By the way, they don't give you the price. It's market price. So I have no idea. But and then like three, this is 8 o'clock in the morning, all right? And
sounds like a good time to me.
Oh my gosh, she's got
three
sides and ribs and I look over there after the break, and it was like a redfish eating the worms. It's gone.
Yep.
I'm like,
I ate it all.
He polished it off. I'm like, there ain't no. Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, because I brought this up, right? They offered him like free dessert after that, and he's like, "Ain't no way, you know, there's no way." And that's what happens with these fish; they gorge themselves, Leon, on these worms. And when I say gorge themselves, I mean literally. If you happen to catch a redfish, his belly is so big, and the worms are coming out of his mouth. I mean, it's crazy. They absolutely gorge themselves on them.
Yes, you're right. I mean, their stomachs are like miniature basketballs. I mean, you grab the fish, and he can lay in the palm of your hand by holding his belly. Just like, you know, you can palm the fish, and he just sits there. He's balancing. He can't move. He's so fat. Yes, you're absolutely right. It's quite an event. I know the fish look forward to it because it's an all-you-can-eat buffet.
You know, and the Keys... It's like a holiday because that's what they wait on for tarpon fishing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, like, literally, the guides have clients that you got to be here in 6 hours. The worm hatch has started. So fly fishing for tarpon during the worm hatch, think about it. You're throwing this little tiny fly, which is that's what they're eating. They're eating worms that look like flies, and it's epic, absolutely epic. Mm-hmm. And it's a 2-day event, but that's what everybody who has their favorite tarpon guide down in the Keys or on speed dial. Actually, it's not this time of year. It's later. I believe it's April or May. Is when the worm hatch is down there. So, yeah. And for us, we despise it. But if you think about a worm hatch, Leon, and you're on a 3-foot flat, you know, grass flat, where you can see the tarpon coming up and slurping them, and you can take a fly and throw it to them. Oh,
that
epic.
That would be great, yeah. Epic.
And by the way, I've seen that. At a place we call Goldstein Point, mm-hmm. which is the big flat across from Salt Run, at, on a high incoming tide one year, the worm hatch was going on. We weren't catching anything, and there were thousands of worms, and there were hundreds of redfish in 2 feet of water
eating
these worms. And they weren't they were slurping. There was no speed to them at all. They were just coming up and slurp. You couldn't get one to bite for. And I'm trying to dip them up and put them on a jig head. You know the worms, and it didn't work. But just seeing that, you know, if you had, and I'm sure Chip Wingo will, because I don't know anything about fly fishing. I'll be honest with you. But if you had a fly rod, Leon, with that fly that looked like that worm, it would
you'd
murder them. Yeah, absolutely.
And they got the clean water down there. That would be just awesome.
Oh yeah, it would be. Yeah, yeah. Where you're seeing that, and at Goldstein Point's kind of like that. You know, on that high incoming tide, sometimes that beautiful green water gets in there, and you can see those redfish just swimming around everywhere. But I'll be damned, Leon, you aren't gonna get one to bite.
It was a clean water spectacle, but that's it.
Yes, that's it.
Speaking of clean water, I am absolutely taken by water clarity this year. I you know, it's not like I'm new to the idea of fishing cleaner water or dirty water, you know, just whatever the case be. I had these predetermined thoughts that fish are, you know, my granddaddy taught me years ago, don't fish in green water. That's just, I never did.
Right.
And, you know, we've been absolutely plagued by green water every fishing trip that I've been on in the last six or so. And we found some fish, but most of them have been offshore in the blue water.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is that it's not always just wiping the fishing out. Like, a lot of these guys are still catching fish in that green water in different places.
When you say catching fish, what are you talking about? Wahoo.
Wahoo. Yep.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it just amazes me, you know, how different the fishery can be from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, yeah. That's any fishery.
And currents, like Tuesday, I fished a current that was just screaming from, you know, from onshore to off. And then today, it was exactly the opposite, probably a 2-knot current strolling inshore, you know. So the water color's staying exactly the same. It's dirty green everywhere.
Right.
The sharks are still the hot topic. I mean, that you just... I've heard, you know, rumor that there are some places you can get without sharks, but I haven't found those places yet. They're just everywhere.
Which is, again, amazing.
I had a National Geographic type event happen on the boat today.
Really? What'd you have happen?
The winner of our 2022 Christmas party for the outdoor show, four-hour trip. He wanted to go on a six-hour trip, so we went way far offshore, further than we probably should have went on a six-hour. But we were out there in 120 feet of water, and we were bringing up Almaco jacks and some smaller amber jacks and beeliners and stuff like that, and he caught a red snapper. The red snapper, it was a big one, too, like a 23 to 25-pound fish. Ooh, giant.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
and
a big one.
Everybody, you can tell when somebody's got a fish on like that. Everybody's watching because you know that he's got something real on in anticipation of seeing what it is. And we're all bent over the side of the boat watching. And these three, I don't know if the water was pretty dark, so I'm going to say there were bull sharks. I'm not sure. But, you know, the 200 to 300-pound sharks.
Yeah.
Rush this red snapper. They came from out from underneath the boat, and you know the fish is probably.
Let me ask you something real quick. Had you lost a fish to the sharks already?
Yes.
Okay. So all right, anyway.
Yeah. So we knew they were there, but we didn't know they were in that. You know.
right. And
you know, everybody's watching this red snapper come up or this fish. We see the color, and we think we got it homemade. Right. We're in the last 10 feet of this fight.
Yep.
And they come rushing out from underneath the boat and just. It was just
annihilated.
Like, just, it was amazing. And at this point, the fish is probably 4 to 5 feet below the surface, and you know, just a foot or two off the side of the boat. So it was just really cool to see. But the surprise,
right?
You know, it's just like, whoa! You know, it made you want to get back.
Did you come up with just a head?
Yes, we came back with just a head.
Unreal.
And none of us saw it happen.
Right.
We saw the sharks, you know what I'm saying? Right. But we did not actually see the sharks get the fish.
Right.
Because they came at, you know, three of them all at one time, and it was just like a
wow
such a shock that yeah, none of us saw the actual taking of the fish.
So my question to you, Leon, I'll ask both of you.
Sure.
Would you dive that area, Ricky?
Honestly, yes. I'm not that afraid of the sharks. I don't know why, but I don't dive, so
right.
Maybe that would be different.
But I would
get in there, yeah.
Leon?
Not today with the green water, but if it was clear,
I'll tell you this much. I sure as hell wouldn't swim on the St. Augustine South jetties during a bait migration. There's not a snowball's chance in hell. No, not with the aggressiveness of the redfish. The sharks that I've seen that will jump out of the water chasing a fish that I'm reeling in. No, I'm not screwing with those guys. They're just a little bit too amped up they will come in blind.
It does scare me. Okay, I'm never going to dive around sharks. But I've always said, if we were on their menu, no one would ever swim.
Oh,
never.
That's very true.
You know, I mean, if we're not on their menu, except there are you know, obviously exceptions. You know, but I truly believe that most shark attacks are by accident. You know.
Oh, absolutely.
Surfboards. You know. Seals, you know what I mean? I mean, but not all
swimming in bait pods.
And I'm not going to put myself in that position,
right.
You know, it's
the chance.
By the way,
if
you look at the last 5 years, shark attacks have become way more prevalent.
Oh, yeah, I think there's just so many more, and I don't really understand what the deal is with that. But
me neither. Go ahead, Liam.
I always say the chances of being attacked by a shark are low. But they're not zero. So why should I step into their playing field and up the odds?
Right.
I'm not going to.
Thinking back about the way you asked the question, somebody said, hey, would you get in the water right now after that happened?
Right.
I wouldn't have.
No, right. Yeah, no.
But before that, knowing they were probably there, I probably would.
It's called common sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, again, just like we talked about, most shark attacks are by mistake. But people, Leon said this, people are swimming in bait pods. You know,
right.
I mean, seriously.
Yes.
How many times have you been running down the beach and people are swimming out to a pogie pod because they think that's cool?
Yep.
You know, I mean, or swimming with the mullet. No.
It's a horrible idea.
Yeah. It's just common sense. You know what I mean? It
I get it if you're a kid, but as a grown adult,
why are we taking the surfboard out, you know, or the paddleboard or whatever out to a bait pod, you know? Because seriously, if I was on it, even the guys in kayaks, I would be afraid.
I would too. I wouldn't do it.
You know, I mean, with those tarpon and I mean. Look, I've had tarpon jump in the boat and sharks jump in the boat and stuff. That happens to you in a kayak. Hey, listen, I'm glad for them. They have an incredible fishery, but me, I'm just going to stick to my redfish and trout in my kayak.
I'll stay in my lane.
Exactly, Leon. Thanks, buddy. Have a great evening.
Always a pleasure, Kevin. Happy birthday, Hollywood.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, y'all have a great evening.
See you,
evening.
Leon. All right, buddy. See you.
See you.
All right, let's take a break here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. And, yes, I have gotten some pictures from Captain Chip Wingo of the flies that they actually look like the worms. So we're gonna really dive into that because I think that's very interesting. We'll be right back on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show.
The Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Captain Ricky Before, Captain Kevin Favor. You can listen to us every Thursday night from 6 to 7.
Right here on 1010XL.
Yeah.
And don't forget about the podcast. You can download the podcast at any point in time. So that's always a good thing. And Captain Chip Wingo. So you're kind of like the really, really, really special guest this evening, Captain Chip.
Hey, real quick, can I do something?
Oh, gosh.
No, the young man I sent you the picture of today, Alex. Berg, I just want to say hello to him. He's all excited about his first redfish today. So
that was his first redfish?
Yep, that was his first. He made the cast, he set the hook, he did the whole thing himself, and he was stoked. Even though his mom fishes better than him, no, I'm not going to go that far, but I just wanted to tell him congratulations because he wanted to listen to the show.
I'm sorry, but that is just an awesome picture. That is a congratulations, buddy. Yes.
Yeah, he's a good young man.
That's great stuff.
Anyway, so sorry to interrupt you. Happy anniversary, Carrie Faber, and happy birthday, Hollywood.
Thank you,
Chip. We've got a lot of celebration going on today.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Awesome. Hey, we do this every year.
That's right. The same day.
On the same day.
That's right. But I'll tell you, Chip, the only disappointing thing that I will tell you is that two mornings of sitting in the last four mornings, I haven't heard anything, brother. Nothing.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Yep. They must know you're there. So.
What about you, Chip?
I've been on the water every day.
Yeah, he's been on the water. I'm living vicariously through him, and he's on the fishing end, and he's kind of living vicariously through me on the turkey end. And man, I did a lot of scouting, and it's the same damn thing every year. It's just unbelievable. February, the pictures, everything that I've got. I mean, I'm talking, there was one flock, Chip, of what, 30, 40 turkeys in a field?
Yeah.
And gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago. Gone.
Wow.
It's like, what in the world?
So, Ricky ought to be fired up about this weekend. So.
I was just telling Kevin on the break, I'm super stoked to my son is – he's 21 years old, and he's not really been all that interested in hunting most of his life, or fishing, for that matter. He goes to spend time with me, but he's not really been that excited about it. The only thing he really likes to do is turkey hunt, and this will be the first year that him and I have been able to sit together that he's capable of calling his own bird and, you know.
Okay, so you're going to let him call?
I don't know if I got that much.
Right there. Okay, yeah.
He will call, but I am a calling snob.
Right.
I like to do the calling.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And I'm not Joe Caller, you know. I mean, I know what works, you know. I mean, but listening to some people who were just unbelievable, you know. But you don't have to be that. You know, that's you.
That's right.
It's all about timing, you know, and patience. So anyway, Chip, Worm Hatch happened on Monday and Tuesday, and you know, it's funny. Ricky didn't realize that in the Keys, the Worm Hatch is like Christmas.
Oh, for the incredible for tarpon. Yeah. So
when is that, Chip? Do you know?
I'm not sure when it is, Kevin. Actually, they're called a Palola worm, and they show up. They show up down in the Keys. I could tell you while we're talking real quick. I'll find it because I was looking at it earlier. But they Keys worm hatch. Let's see.
So Jim, while you're doing that, let me ask you this: you sent me a picture of some flies that look exactly like the worm that hatches. This is a really stupid question, but Ricky and I were talking about this during the break. Why can't we take a little bullet weight and put it in front of that fly for people that want to use spinning reels?
Yeah. Well, you know, I use those fish bites bloodworms. They're real thin, and I've been using those, doing well on them. And all you got to do with those really is the split shot and the split shot and a circle hook or a small live bait hook, you know, and you can pretty much do the same thing, or a popping cork and with free line and just throw it out there to where
it's going. I was just sitting here thinking about that. Well, popping cork with free lining one of those flies. I mean, what the heck? I mean, it's got to give you a better chance than throwing a 4-inch shrimp because that's not what they're eating. They're eating that 2-inch worm.
Yeah.
It would be worth a shot. Do you have? I mean, obviously, you have those flies. Is that something that you can go to like Strike Zone and buy, Chip?
I think they have them. There's a couple flies that Black or their Strike Zone's fly shop had, and they're a straight like epoxy. They're only like about 3 inches long, and they're just a red stick basically, and they'll eat that. I mean,
I'm sure
I've caught smaller tarpon on it, and I caught one in the Keys on it, but it's kind of incredible to watch a fish that big eat something that's so small, you know, and
like I said, there's obviously something to it because and everything eats them, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, everything does. Sheephead,
black drum, trout, redfish, they all eat these worms, which is kind of
so
cool.
Kevin, it's typically around the full moon in May.
That's
typically around the
full
moon in May.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
A little off subject, but today I caught a lionfish on hook.
Is that the first time you ever caught a lionfish?
On hook and line, yes.
I've never caught one.
Yeah. I've never heard of anybody catching one, but
on a piece of squid?
I don't remember.
Or he's not telling us.
It was a jig.
It was a jig?
Yeah, wow. It was like a vertical jig or a high speed jig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Wow. Was it a big one, Ricky, or?
I don't know. It's the first one I've ever seen. So.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It was big to me. Yeah.
Yeah, those things are delicious, man.
And we did. We took him home and cleaned him. And you know, my charter guest today had seen it on some type of social media or something. I can't remember where he said, but he said, all they do is clip the fins and then clean him like a normal fish. So I took my scissors and cut all his fins, like everything off, because I didn't want to take any chances.
Right.
Cut everything off of him, cleaned him. And the meat is exactly what everybody describes it as. There's not much of it.
Right. Yeah. It's like this big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, kind of like almost like Wahoo meat, but just more firm. It's like a clear white meat.
And is it true, Chip? Are they poisonous?
Oh yeah, those spines are definitely get you. They'll hurt. They'll hurt bad.
Okay.
I think there's three or four of them that are actually real venomous that are on them. But yeah, I watched the guys because they have the lobster bags with the, it's got a hard plastic round with a flapper in it, and when they stick them, they shove them in there and pull it out so they don't touch it. And then it's got a zipper on it. They dump it out, and they're real careful with them.
So something crossed my mind today because I took that fish and I threw him in the fish box with all the other fish.
Uh-huh.
What happens if you say you throw like a bigger fish on top of him and it spines him?
I doubt it.
And then you eat that fish.
Yeah.
Nothing can.
I don't know that.
I know.
But
yeah,
it's a thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
It's a bad thought,
but
it's a thought.
I separated him out after that.
Exactly.
Could go wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I tell you what, I
didn't know that.
Today,
gnats.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry about that, Ricky.
That's all right. Go ahead.
So today, I pulled a big snafu, and it blew me away because we pulled up on a giant school of reds today. I mean, absolute giant school. And I was so excited. I was getting rods set up for these guys to throw, and I put my remote in my pocket, and then I couldn't find it. And I'm drifting, and I can't stop. And I'm drifting right on top of them. And I blew this school up, and I mean, there were fish flying everywhere, man. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, we got into such shallow water. And but I mean, the redfish, I've seen schools this year like I haven't seen in years.
That's so good to hear.
Awesome. So, but and I felt so bad. But they got to see that though. It was. Remember when we were flying the drone with Leon, and you and I were fishing, and how many fish you see from the top, as opposed to the wakes you're seeing. I can't imagine how many fish were in this school. There had to be 100 in there. I mean, unbelievable. In an area that was probably about 150, 200 yards long. Just unbelievable. So,
wow.
And and unfortunately,
I do very little inshore fishing, but it's been 20 years since I've seen a big giant school of reds. I've seen like three, but I haven't seen 100 in In fact, the only time I've ever seen it was I was over on the west coast of Florida, you know, in the Gulf, and just was running the boat on a slick, calm day, and the whole dang Gulf turned red color, yes. And I stopped the boat, and there were just redfish everywhere. It was crazy. But I've never seen it over here. Of course, like I said, I don't do a whole lot of inshore fishing. So,
well, the other thing is that it's this time of year. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get those big schools, once it gets hot, you don't find very many big schools of fish.
Is this back in the flats or just
no anywhere? No. This is I don't know where his was, but for the most
right
part,
on the
for
ditch.
Me, when you when you can see him, it's on the ditch.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. It's on the main line.
Pretty clean water today, Chip.
No. Not really clean. You know how low tide is when there wasn't any boat traffic at first, but there's still a lot of dredging going on. A lot of dredging.
Yeah.
You know, and the water's been, and it took a few days after that big rainstorm we had too for that water to actually get into the intercoastal, I think, this time. Because like Kevin always says, when you're in spring, everything sucks it up, but then it has overflow afterwards, you know. But it's not super clean.
I haven't asked you guys. So Chip, what was your water temperature today?
Yeah, I was going to tell you. Yesterday, I fished and ran up to the river, and it was 71 in the ditch, 63 in the river. And,
63
I was like,
still?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
63
Damn.
In the river, and the Spanish
today
just showed up. So.
It's
63 going out the inlet this morning.
Okay.
Yeah,
and it took
crazy?
A long time to get up to 65. And then it went, like, you know, from 65 to 67 in just a few miles.
And what was the highest that you saw it?
I went, like, 45 miles out, 120 feet of water. And I saw 70.1, I believe, was the highest I saw for the day.
Well, I guess it's still beginning of March. I mean, you know, it's middle of March. That's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right. But yeah. 63 is that's still cool.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's still, that's pre-cobia, mm-hmm. that's pre-big black drum, which those should show up any day, right, Chip?
Yeah, they're starting to. They're trickling in.
Oh, they're starting to catch
them.
They're on
the jetties, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and what's your lowest temperature you would fish for cobia for?
The lowest temperature I'll fish for cobia is probably 66.
Yep. I said 67, so I had to get out past that 67 mark of fish, and that's where it led me, 45
Right,
miles
out. That would be 66, 67 degrees. I've definitely jigged them in the wintertime in that mm-hmm. temperature, for sure.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, Chip, we got to take a break. Thanks, buddy.
Yep,
see
have
you,
a great
Chip.
Night, guys.
You too, man.
Yeah, man. All right, let's take a break here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast. We'll come back. We'll look at the forecast and see what it's going to look like for the next few days. Be right back.
It's the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kev Favor with Captain Ricky Purpore. And, I know we love to talk saltwater fishing, but the bass fishing's been really good this week, too, at the Favor Pond and Georgia. It's been fun. This is just such a great time of year. You know, you grew up bass fishing.
Oh yeah.
I mean, March and April they're the months, man. That's what you know. I didn't know anything about turkey hunting because we didn't have turkeys here. You know, as in where I hunted in Guana, mm-hmm. there were no turkeys. That's where I hunted, and so bass fishing was all that I did. You know, I mean, and every day. I mean, morning and evening, I went bass fishing, and it's been fun to get back into it because it's a lot more simple. You know, I mean, I'm very lazy. I'll be honest with you. I got my favorite chair. You know, it's 6 o'clock. You know, after time changes, I got 4 or 5, I don't know, 10, 12 inch shiners, you know, and you know, I just sit on the dock and toss it out and wait. And it's awesome. I mean, you catch some really good fish. I mean, very fortunate. That pond has turned into literally a trophy pond, and I don't put much pressure on them. You know, it's not that I do it 4 or 5 times this time of year, and then that's it. You know, and I don't fish for them the rest of the year, but I do like to go out and try to catch a double digit.
There's something about a shiner and a bass.
I don't understand it either. It's way cool, you know. And by the way, you have to work it. You can't just let it sit there. You know, most of the time you have to kind of, you know, you got to put a little pressure on the shiner, make him swim up in the trees and stuff like that. But you know when he's getting ready to get eaten. And that 4 or 5 seconds is and by the way, sometimes they miss it and throw it up in the air just like a, you know, a kingfish does on a bait or something. You're like, oh, come on. But I did. I caught one the first night that was pushing five, but the one I caught last night was a big fish. All right, real quick, the forecast for this weekend looks good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday, west winds 5 to 10, becoming south in the afternoon, seas 2 to 3. Saturday night, southwest winds 5 to 10. And then Sunday, west winds 5 to 10. I think you can go do whatever you want to do this weekend. If you want to go offshore, I mean, if you want to run down south and look for some bait pods, it's going to be – the temperature's there. The water temperature's still a little cool, mm-hmm. but there might be some big reds underneath those pods or – Who knows? So it's going to be a great weekend to do that. That 4 mile to 6 mile, you could go catch drum, you can catch redfish, you can catch trout,
porgies, sheep's head,
absolutely, yep. Sheep's head, all that good stuff. So yeah, I think this weekend is going to be fantastic. I get it. It's the Players Championship. Yes. Also, me too. I'm obviously a huge golf fan. And this is one of my favorite weekends of the year, so I am not going to be on the water. I will be watching the Players' Championship. So, it's all good. You going to be watching the Players?
Probably not.
For Captain Ricky Papore, I'm Captain Kevin Favor. Thanks for listening to the Rig Power Fishing Forecast Show. Y'all have a great weekend. See ya.